from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs, and it is me for today. Ryan is on vacation enjoying Hawaii, so he is on the beach, and I am here to go over a couple of things, mainly just going to be looking at a quick roster prediction. It is way too early in the preseason to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Just this is where I feel that the team is headed before OTAs, before training camp. So obviously there is going to be a lot of changes going on. But at this time, here are my predictions for who is going to make the roster in September. My name is Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com. If you haven't checked it out, there's a lot of great articles being written there. We just had a great piece go up on Sammy Watkins, a scouting report on him, and Anthony Hitchens was a week ago. So go check those pieces out. And let's go ahead and get down to the predictions of who will make this roster for the Chiefs in 2018. Well, it starts off pretty easy. Kansas City is going to have three quarterbacks on their roster. Don't think that there's going to be any differences there from previous years. I think you're going to have Patrick Mahomes is obviously going to be your starter. You're going to have Chad Henne as your backup. And I think Chase Litton is going to be the guy that is going to be the third string QB. I do not think it's going to be Matt McGloin. I think he's going to end up being cut in the offseason. And I just think Chase Litton is going to be a better fit for them, mainly because of what he can bring long term, which I think he could be a good number two type QB in maybe a year or two. So those are the three QBs I think are going to be in Kansas City when the season starts. Moving on to running back, I think this is going to be a very tough group to shake out at the very end of things. You have Kareem Hunt, who led the league in rushing last year, and I think that he is obviously going to be the starter. He will have another good season, I think, this year, especially since Mahomes should be keeping linebackers keeping safeties out of the box and keeping the linebackers at least on their toes to be backpedaling as opposed to attacking, just because of the ability Mahomes will have to throw the ball down the field. I think that there is going to be a lot of turnover at this position, though, because at this point, we don't know anything about Spencer Ware. Maybe he's going to be back and maybe he's going to be healthy, but we haven't heard anything to this point. So I'm almost wondering if he's going to start the season on PUP. And if that's the possibility, then obviously he will not be on the 53-man roster to start the season. With the moves Kansas City has made this season, it looks like to me that they're wanting a little bit different type of skill set out of the running backs. So I'm not so sure that Cherkendrick West is back either. Right now I see both Kerwin Williams and Damian Williams making the roster. And maybe Kerwin Williams is going to get pushed off by Darrell Williams, who is a rookie out of LSU. He was an undrafted free agent. If he is not on the roster opening day, I would think that he is a great candidate for the practice squad if he's still available at that point. Now, this will make Ryan happy. You know, obviously, I don't think fullback's going to change any. I think Anthony Sherman is going to be your guy there. I like what he gives them on special teams. I think that he is going to be able to provide another good presence of leadership in that locker room, especially for a young running back core. When you look at Hunt and Damian and Kerwin Williams, and maybe Darrell Williams as well. So I think that that's going to be good for Kansas City. I don't think that they're going to be replacing Sherman, obviously, this year, but I think it's possible that they could be looking to replace him next year since he's only here on a one-year deal. You know, fullback is going, and Ryan won't like this part, but fullback is going to the wayside at this point. So it's going to be questionable whether or not he's going to be in Kansas City long term. Obviously, on a one-year deal, they didn't want to go any further than that, and you can understand why. Now, as we move to wide receiver, this is where it's going to get a little interesting. Obviously, you have Tyreek Hill and you have Sammy Watkins. Those are going to be your two starting wide receivers on the outside, I believe. I do think that Conley is going to maybe play some in the slot, but he's also going to move around on the field, and I think he'll be used a lot more than people wouldn't necessarily expect, but I do think he's going to see a lot of playing time. He does bring a different dimension to this offense. He's more of a possession type receiver, And I think he's going to do very well with Patrick Mahomes as his QB, because I think Mahomes is going to give him more opportunities to really do what he does best, which is fight for the ball and use his body to his advantage. I do think that it's possible that DeMarcus Robinson isn't on this team when everything is said and done. But for right now, I do think that he is going to be on it. It's really going to come down to what type of preseason he has. And if there's any other wide receivers that step up, you know, you have DeAnthony Thomas, who came back on a 1-year deal after breaking his leg. It's going to be hard for him to make the team just because of the talent of wide receiver. When you add Sammy Watkins and, you know, you have Chris Conley as your number three, it's just really going to be hard for them to keep him. And there are going to be other guys on this roster that I think give them the opportunity to move on from DeAnthony Thomas as a returner. So it wouldn't surprise me if Thomas is not on the roster this season. I do think Jay Chesson is going to be on this roster, though. I do think that he is going to provide a great special teams player, much like Robinson was his first year. And I think, you know, Chesson's role will grow throughout the season, but I do think that that's his best way on the roster at this point. I do think that it's possible he'll get some playing time as the season wears on, but I do think he's the number five wide receiver. Running out the wide receiver core, I just think that this is Marcus Kemp's position to lose. Like I said, I think DeAnthony Thomas has a possibility of making this as the number six wide receiver. And I do think Kansas City only keeps six. But to me, Marcus Kemp brings a little bit more to the team than DeAnthony Thomas does, even though he doesn't necessarily have the same ability as a returner. I do think that Kansas City can look elsewhere for a returner. Now, moving on to tight end, I think that this is going to be a position group that could really change this season. You know, obviously, you're going to have Travis Kelce as your starter. Nobody's going to replace him. Don't expect anything less than Kelce being that number one guy. I do think that there's an outside chance, and maybe better than an outside chance, that Amaro unseats Harris as the number two wide, number two tight end in this on this team. And that's just out of kind of his talent level was very high coming out of college. He was drafted. Demetrius Harris was not. Amaro's been playing football a lot longer, and he has natural ability that I think Demetrius Harris does not have. Harris has had his time in Kansas City, and I think his time is going to be up come September. Maybe they'll trade him, but with his contract, I would imagine he's just going to be released. You know, for the third tight end, I'm going with Ellis right now.
I don't feel great about the Alex Ellis pick, but I do think that Kansas City has looked at what they have, and they realize that they need another blocking tight end. They're not going to have Orson Charles, who also got time at fullback last year. They're not going to have that type of guy. They need somebody that could come in and block and be that third tight end that, you know, in occasion maybe somebody that is going to catch a pass, but more than likely is going to be lined up on the end of the line and let Kelce or an Amaro type of tight end get out in a route as opposed to having to stay in the block. I do think there's value in that. You know, it's just whether or not that they believe that he is going to be good enough for what they really want to do. And maybe they make another move this offseason to find a better fit at tight end. It is possible that they will find somebody out there on the free agent wire at some point. As we move on to the offensive line, this is where it's going to get a little bit trickier. There are at least seven guys, in my opinion, that probably, maybe even eight if you count McKenzie, that are going to be here for sure. So let's go ahead and get to those real quick, and then we will talk about the guys at the back end of the line.
You know, you have the first five, which right now I still think are Fisher, Witzman, Morse, LDT, and Schwartz. Irving, to me, is going to be your backup. You know, your number six guy, he can rotate in multiple different positions. Iyengar may win the job from Witzman, but at this point, you know, that is, we have to wait and see how he plays this offseason. He didn't, obviously wasn't back for the preseason last year, wasn't back until later in the season. We'll have to see if he can unseat Witzman at that left guard position. You know, they drafted Reggie McKenzie's son and Khalil McKenzie to move him to guard, so they were going to have to give him time to adjust to the game. So I think he becomes their eighth offensive lineman, and he's probably going to be a game day inactive every game this season. I don't think they're going to let him get. I don't think they'll cut him. I think they're going to need to keep him on the roster in order to make sure that he's not picked up elsewhere. And then right now, this one is I don't feel great about because I don't like the player. I do think that he can be okay, but I don't think there's a lot of value there. I don't really think he brings a lot to the team, but he can play multiple positions. And right now he is your probably your second best center on the team, if not maybe third best. I mean, maybe if you count Irving as a center, maybe Debbie's your third best, but I think he's at least close to that number two. So I think Debbie is your ninth offensive lineman at this point. So let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we will be right back. And we are back for part two. This is going to be the defense. If you were counting, I had 25 people on the offensive side of the ball. I will jump in real quick and say that the special teamers, there's no surprise. It's Dustin Colquitt, it's Harrison Butker, and it's James Winchester. So that gets you to 28 total players, which means that they're going to have 25 for the defensive side of the ball, and they would be pretty even. That isn't necessarily how they've done things in the past, but until we get through camp and really see if there's any additional groups that kind of step forward, we'll go with 25 and 25. So to start off, we'll start with the defensive line. I think you're going to have Chris Jones and Alan Bailey are going to be your starters. Right now, I'm thinking that Derek Nnadi has a pretty good chance at making a move and being that nose tackle type for Kansas City. It's possible that it's Xavier Williams, but I do think that Derek Nnadi also has that ability and will be here and maybe starting even in 2018. Then you're going to be looking at, obviously, Xavier Williams is going to be there, and I think you're going to also be looking at a guy named D-Liner. He is a massive man, and if he is able to show in camp like I think he could, I think he would give them a great nose tackle type depth player. And I think Xavier Williams and Nnadi can both play defensive end in this scheme, so I think that they have the ability to keep, you know, a second, you know, large defensive lineman for those types of situations. And then, you know, obviously number six is going to be Jarvis Jenkins. I do think he's on this team. So I think there's your six defensive linemen. Now, when we go to the linebacker group, it's going to be a little bit different. You know, you obviously you're going to have Ford and Houston. I do think that Ford is going to be healthy enough to not be on PUP or injured reserve when the season starts, so I do think that he is going to be a starter, obviously. And then you're going to have Houston on the other side. Speaks is going to be an outside linebacker for you. He's probably going to be the third linebacker off the bench. You know, they're going to use him in many, many situations, and maybe towards the end of the year he will be starting instead of Ford, and that's if Ford stays healthy. I just think that Speaks is going to give them more of a presence against the run, which they really want, and I think they're going to need on first and second down. And Ford can be that situational pass rusher. And that's a lot to pay a situational pass rusher in the, you know, over $9 million. But Ford is going to be that guy, I think, for them this year. And that really shows what they think, what they're going to be doing with Speaks. Obviously, you're going to have K-Pass as another outside linebacker for Kansas City, drafted in the second round last year. He's not going anywhere. It's really not his best. He is not the normal size, obviously. Neither is Speaks. Both of them are very large for outside linebacker, but I think that's where they're going to play them. I did throw Dorian O'Daniel in with the outside linebacker group. I do think that it's going to be more of a linebacker safety type hybrid role. So I threw him in with the outside linebacker. So that gives you your five outside linebackers right now. You know, in Ford, Houston, Speaks, K-Pass, and O'Daniel. For inside linebackers, obviously you're going to have your two starters in Hitchens and Ragland. I do think Oligwe is going to be a solid special teamer for this team. I think he's going to play a massive role on special teams and it will be very good in that. I do not think he's going to see much time on, you know, the base defense or any of the defensive snaps at all, unless obviously something happens to Hitchens or Ragland. This is the position that really I'm struggling with trying to figure out who to put here. I don't like the fit because I really don't think that he belongs on this team still because he just doesn't add anything from that outside pass rush. But I do think that it's possible that Zombo is on the team as maybe a fourth inside linebacker. because he can play both inside and outside. And right now, you know, it's between him and maybe Terrence Smith. They did keep 5-5 last year. It's possible they go that route again, but I think they're going to need to keep more corners. There's just a lot of question marks at the corner position. And they've got two very solid starters at inside linebacker. I think they could maybe get another inside linebacker type that is on the practice squad. And they have a couple that they brought in that I think they really like from the rookie minicamps. So we will definitely be keeping an eye on that. And maybe there's somebody that, you know, steps out and pops out at camp, and that's certainly a possibility. Let's go ahead and take another quick break real quick, and we will come back and we will discuss the DBs and who I think will make the team as a corner and who I think will make it as a safety. All right, so now we're down to the nitty-gritty, and one of the hardest positions for Kansas City to really fill out this year, I think, is going to be the cornerbacks. There are just so many questions. You know, obviously, the Marcus Peters moving on, you're going to have to hope that you are able to find another guy that's going to be able to step in and fill his position. It's going to be very hard. They're very large shoes to fill. Kendall Fuller is obviously going to be the number one corner, in my opinion. I think he is the best corner that Kansas City has on the roster right now. But the question still with him is he going to be an inside guy or outside guy? So that's going to be something that we'll have to watch throughout training camp and the preseason to see how they really play him. You know, you have David Amerson, who I think is going to be an outside corner. I think he's going to start for Kansas City. And I think that, you know, you have Steven Nelson, who I think is still an ascending player. I think that he got a little bit of a bum rap in 2017 because he didn't play very well when he first came back from injury. I don't think he was fully ready to play yet. It's really hard for a player to come in after being on IR for 8 weeks and go and basically missing all of he made training camp for some of it, but he also missed a lot of camp and he missed most of the preseason games. So it's really hard for a player to come back and get back into hitting shape and really get back out there and give the team something down the stretch. So I do think that Steven Nelson is going to be a big part of this team, but I do not think he's going to be one of the top two corners, although I could be wrong. Maybe he is the number two and Amerson's number three. For the number four corner is Tre'Mont Smith. I think that he is going to be somebody that's probably going to surprise people this season. I think that he has an opportunity to get on the field at different times. It's going to be sporadic. I don't think he's going to be a starter. I don't think that he's going to be one of the top three corners off the bench. But I do think that they maybe bring him in for dime in some situations. And he could see some time if any of the top three get hurt. He, from what I've seen, he has a big attitude, and that could be a real benefit at corner. It is good to have a corner that really likes to go out and be aggressive. The question is can he control it enough to where he's not overly aggressive? And I think he'll be all right in that situation. The number five and the number six corner, I don't feel great about either of these, but yes, I'm going with six corners. Right now, I think Ashton Lampkin looked really good in the preseason last year and unfortunately tore his ACL, I believe, at the end of the last preseason. And he will, I think, be the number five corner on this team. Malik Reeves is the guy they brought in and for rookie minicamp, and they signed him to a contract. I do think that he is a potential starter, or not a potential starter, a potential player to make that the back of the roster as a special teamer and someone that they want to try to develop as a corner. Obviously, you know, you're talking about the sixth corner. It's possible he doesn't even suit up during game day. So he's going to have to earn playing time, just like Lampkin would have to earn playing time on special teams. Now, at safety, at this point, you were at 49 players, so you've got four safeties left. You know, obviously, the two easy ones are Eric Berry and Armani Watts. I think both of those guys are going to be starters. I think Watts will end up being a starter on day one. I could be wrong on that. We'll have to see how it plays out during training camp, but I do think he is able to come in and show his aggressiveness and play next to Eric Berry, and I think that's going to be a great place for him to learn. The third safety I have is Eric Murray. I do still believe in Murray. I think he played out of position last year. He is not a safety that should really be up in covering tight ends. That's not really his game. He should be more in the back end. But because of injuries, he had to come up and do that to play. And, you know, he tried. I just don't think that's his skill set or his fit. I think that's where you're going to see Dorian O'Daniel a lot this year in doing those types of roles if Eric Berry is not. Now, the fourth safety position, and this is where it gets really interesting, because to me, I do not think that Daniel Sorensen is on this team. I think the last one is going to go to a guy like Jordan Stearns. It's possible they go in a different direction. And I'm not going to lie, it's possible that Daniel Sorensen is back for another year in Kansas City. But what I'm looking at right now is Sorensen has a $5 million cap number. If he's not a starter, which he's not going to be, because I believe there, you know, you're still going to have Armani Watts and Eric Berry as your starters. And Dorian O'Daniel is basically brought in to replace Sorensen in the box and in those types of plays and play the linebacker safety type hybrid role. So I don't see how you have a guy that makes $5 million a year on this team if he's not going to be a starter. It doesn't matter how good of a special teams player he is. So that is my 53-man roster right now. Obviously, like I said, this is going to be subject to change. There will be several changes, obviously, between now and the start of the season. But let me know what you think. Hit me up on Twitter at ChrisClarkNFL or LockedOnChiefs on Twitter. You know, send me messages on Facebook if you'd like at Locked On Chiefs. Let me know what you think of my 53-man roster, and be sure to be ready to tune in tomorrow. We have a very special guest. We have Therese Paylor joining us tomorrow on the show for Wednesday, and he was nice enough to come back and talk Kansas City with Ryan and I. So that will be on Wednesday. Thank you, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter at Ryan Tracy NFL and at Chris Clark NFL. We'll talk to you next time.